Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning, my friend. Glad you're with me. Bringing you Mark Mustian, former city commissioner and purveyor of this Word of South festival that happened back in April. We'll find out all about that. And our very good friend, Dr. Mignon, has health tips and information for the summertime. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
Truck and car concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tripping out to truck. Truck and car concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and car concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tripping out your truck. Truck and car concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend, and bring your cars, too. You're gonna love it.
Truck and car concepts. We're your one-stop shop. We always aim to please. Truck and car concepts.
Call 656-8800.
Yes, here we are. We're having a bit of a run of heat and humidity, which is quite typical of this time of year, is it not? And so we scurry about from one air-conditioned environment to the next. Or if we're brave enough to try to do any yard work or other such things, we're out there early morning or perhaps later in the day, you know, like the old timers did it. Only difference being that I think that they didn't have the luxury of air conditioning, and so we've all become accustomed to being able to remain rather cool and comfortable regardless, whether it's our houses, our businesses, our cars. And in light of that, it does make the outdoor festivals and such that we enjoy in this town a bit more challenging this time of the year. But in keeping with our interest in such things, we've invited Mark Mustian to tell us about this neat little festival he dubbed Word of South, which, if you have not taken note, is contributive at a number of levels. First of all, that it brought together a number of nationals, people like J.K. Simmons that all of you know from his work in television and film. He's got a film out right now, Whiplash. He was part of the whole mix. Tony Hale was there. He had a number of national authors, actors, vocalists that were paired up with local musicians and authors, and all of this to celebrate the music and literature of our day, particularly tied to Tallahassee and the North Florida area. Well, this was the brainchild of our guest today, Mark Mustian. And many of you know Mark for his contributions over the years as a city commissioner. We'll get his take on that note. We'll get his take on the past city tax hike that's been approved as of this week. Not from its originally proposed 27%. I think they settled at 24% as it works out. Consequently, some things that were in the budget have been removed, like the cameras for law enforcement officers to wear in their vests. So that got nixed. Some other things, too. Meanwhile, the county school system will have to wait for the legislature to come back with what they can spend. They're anticipating the property tax increase, as it's been approved now. That was like a split of 4-2. I think Ziffer and Maddox both voted against it, regardless. But it did pass, and yet Leon County Schools will have to wait until the legislature decides what their budget's going to look like based on this new budget. So we'll find out more as we go forward in the weeks ahead. with lots of interest in how that will impact local business. People like Michelle Bono over there speaking on behalf of the city point out that what it really amounts to is a rather modest increase per property owner. In fact, that was working out to be for the homeowner that has an assessed value of $150,000 and a $50,000 homestead exemption. Well, the increase would amount to about a $7 a month hike in property taxes. That was, again, according to Michelle Bono, who is an assistant to the city manager. So, but that in turn represents an increase or the ability for them to generate about $42 million for the fiscal year 2016. And that represents an increase of about $9.5 million over last year's budget. So they're hoping to offset some of the increases in costs. And as many of you know, most of the costs for the city are amount to the personnel, the people that that provide services. And so in that, there is an increase in a 3% merit pay increase for general employees that was proposed, I should say, and that's been reduced to 2%. So, again, adjustments to the proposed budget now as it has been approved along with this tax hike. Well, it raised the ire of many who oppose any increase in taxes, so we're going to lean on Mark Mustian to give us a bit of insight. And this is a guy who has a great deal of contribution, as I've mentioned. He was a city commissioner from 2003 to 2012, so 9-year stint there. I think he can speak to this with some insight. We also have with us Dr. Mignon, who, as many of you know, appears on our show regularly as a contributor, helping us think through some of the summertime health issues we need to pay attention to, heat and humidity among them. But we'll tap on her for some helpful advice and get her perspective on the state of the local health community as such. How are we doing as a community providing medical services in the Tallahassee region, Tallahassee area? So we're looking forward to her comments. She'll be with us here in the first hour. Joining us as well, Miriam Dady has another guest in the business spotlight that we love to bring to you. We'll have that actually in the second hour, won't we, Carl? That's happening up that'll be in the second hour. Okay, so agreed. With that in mind, let me point out too that there are a number of businesses, talking about business spotlight, that are starting up around us. The one that caught my attention particularly, I thought, was rather delightful. And this is a couple of FSU students who decided to create a clothing line, and I believe it's called Kawasa. The way they're doing this, you talk about businesses going mobile. Well, they've gone mobile in a good old-fashioned sort of way. They bought an old school bus and then painted it up, and they're driving north, I think going up to the East Coast, bound for Virginia Beach, I think was the report. This is Xander Nichols and Connor Pearson, who decided as college students, both in their early 20s, to create this clothing line, Kawasa Clothing Company. And the bus is their business. I mean, you find inside this bus their offices and their retail center, and so you buy clothing right there, sort of in keeping with the spirit of a food truck, right? So a rather novel approach, and one that they expect will be quite successful. But another tip of the hat to a startup opportunity here in the Tallahassee area. Who knows? This could be a whole new trend for retail business. You know, you got an idea, you know, go mobile. Stop worrying about your app and just buy a bus. So if you're selling artwork or maybe bathroom fixtures or drapery or clothing, that's all you need, right? And It's interesting. We'll have to get these guys to come in and be on the show at some point and tell us a bit more of their story, and we'll keep track of where they're headed. Right now, they're headed to Virginia Beach. Well, folks, that's what's going on around here. You stay with me. We've got Dr. Mignon coming up here shortly, and we'll be back with more after this.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back. We have Dr. Mignon with us. She is one of the bright stars on this horizon of medical practice here in Tallahassee, and I've known this wonderful doctor for many years, someone who many of you have known and respected for her contributions within the field of medicine. As a practitioner, she is the proprietor of Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida, located right here in Tallahassee, a contributor to our show and our guest this morning. How are you?
Hi, I'm wonderful.
Nice to have you with us again. As we catch up with you, you've been on vacation. Whoever told you you could or were allowed to take a vacation? This is what I don't understand. I mean, you can't do this.
You got to work hard to earn a vacation.
But you are practicing some of what you preach, I think, in that part of your effort over the years, it seems to me, has been to encourage wellness and really put the downbeat there. You know, get in front of people in looking at health management and wellness issues, nutrition, emotional health, spiritual health, all of those things that we can be doing for ourselves long before we have to call the doctor and say, "Hey, I'm sick with whatever we're being afflicted with." And that's an interesting part to me, that as a practitioner, you've really been proactive that way, so much so that you've built these other organizations or offerings within this North Florida Health and Wellness Center. Tell us about that. How did all that come about for you?
Oh, well, that was an evolution. The practice, the Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida, has been evolving over the past 11. Now we're starting on our 12th year. But adding things to different services to really focus on wellness, because the truth is the best medicine is a good, healthy lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's challenging to do in our stressful society, but there are small changes that we can make. You know, we start small and they evolve into bigger changes personally. So if that's exercise, so we offer exercise services, or nutritional counseling and modifying our diet. You know, so often people know what to do, but they don't know how to get it done. And in our culture and society, even when we know what to do, it's difficult to make it happen.
Right,
so
right.
We want, you know, I want to help people really do that.
Yeah.
And I just know how important it is, because I see, as a physician, I know the bad things, all the morbidity and
mortality that happens. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
And I know that it's a heck of a lot better if we can just prevent that. Mm. But we got to start by making those changes. And it's not just about medicine and your cholesterol, but it's about what you do, what you eat, and helping people to see that connection and really make that that change.
Right. In fact, it seems to me that the conversation in the last, I don't know, 60 years, 70 years has changed dramatically because of folks like you who continue to remind us of such things in terms of the way that your practice has shifted away from simply treating illness into considering this entire person. And you talk about the stresses of life. The question for me is, are there things that you see us doing, we'll say, in our daily lifestyles? And I don't mean just are we eating well or are we exercising, but even the way that we structure our time and how we run our businesses or how we run our families, right?
Oh, yes.
That cause more problems?
Absolutely. It's funny, you know, I take care of the whole person, and the whole person means, you know, not just, yes, of course, I talk about diabetes if you have diabetes or cholesterol if you have cholesterol issues, but, you know, interweaved throughout our office visits, if we're talking about a general medical office visit,
right.
I'm counseling patients on how to structure their life. Like,
what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. You need to sleep more. It's okay to say no to certain, you know, activities. If it's things that, if you're overdoing things and patients walk in and say, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed out. Or even young people, a 16-year-old could feel stressed out. And what does that really mean? I mean, people throw that term around, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself. I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted when I wake up in the morning. Well, what are we going to do? You know, are you going to push through? Most people will try to push through and do the same thing until it's done, you know, until their kids are grown and, you know, 8 years. And by that time,
sounds
8 years of your
familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a common phenomenon. I mean, that's what we do naturally. Right. But so to help people adjust their mind or their thinking or their perception and their plan.
Yeah.
To change that.
And that's been my challenge personally. I've looked at my lifestyle and looked at how for many years I've carried with more weight than I really need to be, certainly. And I've gone through dietary plans, and I've been successful. I mean, but then the weight returns. So, gee, let's think about that. Maybe it's not the diet as such. It really is this broader question as how you're living your life.
Yes.
And I have found in the last, I would say arguably in the last 5 or 6 years, making structural changes with how I'm organizing myself has really helped. So, for example, I'm not wait till I get home at 9 o'clock at night after working 12 hours and then sit there and gorge myself and go to bed. I mean, common sense tells me
that doesn't work.
Probably not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I've made it a practice to say, no, you're going to start the day with a lot of fluid, a lot of water, you know, low sugar fruit juices and that kind of stuff, natural. And then add to that through the day smaller offerings, you know, a cereal bar and then maybe a piece of fruit and just make that my habit, right? Wow. And so I've seen weight loss. I've seen more vitality. I know this is sound like an infomercial at this point.
No, it's
but
wonderful.
I have to tell you that I wouldn't be able to endorse what you're telling me if I hadn't experienced it for myself.
Right.
So.
Yeah, no, it's the truth. You know, I always tell folks, change is the most difficult thing to do. Changing behavior, changing thought processes. And, you know, we adopt the thought patterns or behaviors often of our parents. So a lot of times, you know, these are behaviors that were taught to us that we grew up seeing. Or as adults, of course, maybe you've lived 28 years or 42 years or 56 years with these behaviors. So it's very difficult to make even those small changes. But that was really powerful.
That's very, very important. Yep. We're talking with Dr. Mignon. She is a local physician specializing in internal medicine and pediatrics and the proprietor for Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida, our guest this morning, and a contributor to this here fine radio show. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Todd Cutlip, general manager of Browning Moving and Logistics in Tallahassee.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Dr. Mignon, talking about health maintenance, health issues in general that have to do with us getting out in front of and taking charge of our own health. Don't be like me. Don't wait until you're laying there on the sidewalk with your little eyeballs bugging out, panting, saying, "Doc, I need you, help me." Because, you know, by that time, Dr. Mignon's going to look at me and go, "You are so stupid. I've been telling you for years, you need to change your lifestyle." So she's here to help me get less stupid, which is good. And we're learning about this remarkable practice. We talked about the wellness things, and you've also talked about the behavioral counseling that you guys provide. That is basically about mental health, but that's also relationship issues, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So if I'm fighting with my dog every night when I go home, this is not good.
Right.
Because the dog eventually is going to get very sick. And maybe me too. Right.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So I can bring my dog to your... No, that's not right. But group counseling, marital counseling, individual counseling, that's all provided?
Yes, yes. So the wonderful thing is, you know, I myself counsel during our visits, but when it, of course, requires something more than I can offer or more time or something that
moment,
we really
yeah.
need to focus mm-hmm. on, we have within the office impact behavioral health, where we have counselors, we have licensed mental health counselors and psychologists to offer that one-on-one, you know, therapy session, so psychotherapy, and really get into people's lives and help people recognize issues and, you know, process them and deal with them. Because if we don't do that, you're just going to carry around that baggage, which is not fun. And the truth is, you know, many things can be made better.
We just need
help.
You said earlier that the physical impact, right, of this emotional relational problem go hand in hand. They may not be exactly causal, but they certainly are highly correlated, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Or if it's, again, you know, chronic pain or anxiety disorder and panic attacks, and then people can develop other issues like dependence upon, you know, pain
substance
medications.
Abuse.
Exactly.
Right, right.
So we also focus on substance abuse, which is huge. And those people who need us, we have a master's addiction counselor on hand. And then, of course, I help patients as well. They find us. And we're there for them. We care.
For you as a practitioner, then, what are those, let's say, medical issues that you see most often? Now we talk about diabetes and weight and are there issues that we are dealing with as a population that you're seeing on the rise, or others that were not as prominent years ago? I mean, what really occupies your time?
Yes, yes. I spend the majority of my time dealing with metabolic issues. And when I say that, what that means is weight, which translates into hypertension, diabetes, hypercholesterolemia. Those are, I always describe them as a pack of bad dogs. They all run together.
Speaking of dogs.
Yeah, they all come together.
Yes.
And then, of course, there's a lot of depression. There really is. Anxiety. And the one thing that does...
I can't imagine why anybody would be depressed in our time when things are just going so well.
Yeah.
Globally and nationally and locally.
There's a lot of challenging
issues out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it can consume one's life and, you know, be overwhelming. One thing that does seem to be on the rise is, or I see a lot more of than I did when I did my training, you know, so many years ago, is that, you know, the attention deficit and the difficulty focusing. So there are other illnesses in that spectrum that tend to come up for the younger populations, especially.
Well, especially that, and I guess in terms of our interests right now, here we are midsummer, roughly, and with that, you know, it's easy to sort of forget that we set these goals back there in January, right?
Yes.
And we were going to get real healthy, and we're going to resolve all those conflictual issues in our lives. We're going to get rid of our dog or whatever we're going to do, you know, right. Because I'm tired of fighting with that dog. And I'm sure it's mutual. So so what do we do now? What's a good thing for us to be doing here in the months of July and August, I guess?
Yes, I love the summertime because, you know, a few reasons. It is mid-year, so yes, it's time to reevaluate those things, that those goals that we set for ourselves 6 months ago. This time of year, we're all thinking, oh my God, it's June, it's July, you know, before you know it, it's going to be December. Well, yes, you have 6 months to accomplish those goals. The weather's great. The hours of the day with sunlight are much longer, so I find, you know, myself personally and others we're much more active during the summer. Mm-hmm. So it's a great mm-hmm. time to really be active, reassess those goals, focus on our exercise, focus on being outdoors, mm-hmm. focus on enjoying the environment and reducing those internal stressors that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And really do, you know, practicing what you preach or what your priorities are. My priority is to get healthy. Well, then do that.
Are there reminders or cautionary things we need to keep in mind for these summertime months?
Yes. So as we're doing that, of course, you know, it is summer. We live in North Florida. It's very hot here. And, you know, we don't want to get dehydrated if you're out exercising or walking or enjoying a walk in the morning. A lot of times people will walk in the morning.
Stay hydrated.
So stay hydrated. What does that mean? Drink water.
Yes.
Not everybody likes water. Some people don't want to drink water. Our bodies are 80% water. We need fluid. If you're sweating, you're, you know, putting out liquid. You're putting out water. So we need to replace that.
Yeah.
And you need the energy and the gas that to go and do those things that you want to do. So drink water. Focus on, you know, making time today or now when you're actually able to exercise or practice those stress reduction.
I think of the moms who are working,
mm-hmm.
who have maybe two or three kids, maybe one child, but they're trying to be all of these people for all of these other people. You know, they're the employee or they're the administrator or whatever their job is, right? Then they have this responsibility for their children, for their home. They're taking care of everybody else. So they're out at the beach minding the children or at the park, right?
Right.
They need to be reminded too, don't they?
Oh, yes, absolutely. What I like as a mom, I am a mom of children, mm-hmm. school-age children.
Mm-hmm. Two beautiful daughters, by
the way.
Yes,
thank you. Mm-hmm. They're so wonderful. And what I tell the parents and what I like myself is it's summer, so there's a lot less pressure to get home. I must be home to cook food or dinner. I have to make sure the kids get their homework done. They have to go to bed. So there's a little more freedom to do what that woman needs, to focus on herself. Yeah. And it's okay to say no. You know, your kids don't need everything all the time.
Well, that's a healthy piece of advice.
Yep.
We are a nation of overachievers, are we not? Especially women.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be superwoman,
superwoman
in order to be considered normal.
Oh, yes.
Relax.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be okay.
Right. It is okay to say no. They will eat. They will feed themselves.
Hmm.
As long as they're safe, you're fine. Hmm. And, you know, but women especially, you know, they're going to give to their kids first. They're going to take care of their house. They're going to take care of their spouse or their partner or their boyfriend or whoever is on the other side. And then by the time they get to take care of themselves, they're too tired. Mm-hmm. Physically, their body aches.
Mm-hmm.
And that thought of taking a walk, even though they know they should, they feel they should, they need to go to sleep. And actually, at that time, that is the best thing to do. Go to sleep. But exactly. They must rest. But at some point, they have to make themselves a – what I tell my patients is you must make yourself a priority in your life. You are – it is your life. You must be a priority in your life, because if you don't do it, no one else will. And as long as I say these words, even though you know what I'm saying is true – you got to do it. I can't do it for you.
And if you're not taking care of yourself, you're not going to take care of anybody else either in the long run.
That's
folks,
right.
We're talking with Dr. Mignon. You are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me. We've got more right up ahead. We'll be right back.
In business, time is money. And in times like these, money is tight. Every second counts. Downtime can be deadly. That's why Tallahassee business owners trust the good guys, Lawson and Lawson Electrical Services. They keep business up and running hard with reliable, proven, first-time right service. Lighting, expansion, maintenance, replacement, repairs, and installations. Lawson and Lawson giving business owners and homeowners better solutions, too, with energy-efficient green ideas to help squeeze every penny. That's what business owners need, and that's why they call Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. And you should, too. Don't waste precious time. Trust the good guys at Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. Call 562-4111 or on the web at llelectrical.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back, and we're talking with Dr. Mignon, who many of you know. She is an able contributor to our show and is an MD and specializing in internal medicine and pediatrics. She started many, many years ago serving the community here, the people of Tallahassee, and of late operating this marvelous center. It's Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida that has a composite sort of approach to this. We've talked about the medical work that she's done, she and her staff, and then the Wellness Center by Dr. Mignon, which is a marvelous contribution in terms of preventative issues, and the behavioral medicine, the counseling and such, right? And then there's Transformations, which is really aimed at the men. Is that right?
Well, it's for men and women. Oh, men do wonderful with it, but it is the Transformations for Life diet program, but it's to transform our bodies and our life. So it's more than just your diet, but to transform our health. And, you know, a lot of times that's a, you know, it starts off as a physical transformation. People know, I just want to lose weight. But of course, there's so many other things that are linked to that, or our mindset and our thoughts. And as we start to lose weight through eating properly and being shown how to do that, people become more physically active, and that's a wonderful thing. And then, of course, you know, they might have better moods and it's all connected.
Do you think people can benefit by exercise alone? There's always this sort of mantra that's diet and exercise. You know, you have to do those in combination. And I mean, I have been victim of that in my own life. Friends of mine, they're on that treadmill, they're working, and they're not losing any weight. But they haven't done anything to address dietary concerns. And I'm not even sure that they're exercising in a way that forces their body to burn fat. You know, they're worn out when they get off the treadmill, but they haven't really done much more than that. So what are some things we need to consider there in terms of how we go about weight loss, I guess?
Well, people can usually lose weight in the beginning with diet alone, changes in diet alone. And some people will lose weight with exercise, although if you're building muscle mass, you may not see the scale change, which can be very frustrating. But they are healthier than they were before exercising. So you're building that muscle mass. You know, muscle mass burns calories better than fat. Fat just sits around and doesn't do a whole bunch but screw up your metabolism and your
like
blood
my
sugar
dog.
Numbers.
See, we're back at looking at my dog again.
This dog issue.
I have a dog issue.
We got to talk about that? This dog, yes.
I mean, I tell her when I leave the house, okay, you're in charge, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I am providing her a very expensive, air-conditioned doghouse to live in all day. She's there. And when I come home, she's done nothing.
I know.
She's laying in exactly the same place I left her. She gets up and looks at me like, okay, it's time for me to go out now. And
could
then,
you open the door, please?
Open the door, please. And she's rude about it. I mean, she's just rude. I don't understand this. And I settle. That's my problem. I don't think that I'm worth having a better relationship than this. Can you?
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
I need to make an appointment.
I'm going to have to. Yeah, we need to have a group
dog
session.
Therapy.
Yes, bring the dog. And I need to see the two of you together interacting.
It's not pretty, I want to tell you right now. Okay, back to the more important things.
Yes.
Having to do with this transformation. And you're saying then, well, come on. You can't cherry pick. You can't just pick out one part of your regimen and say, that's my solution. It really is a composite, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. It is going to be a combination of the two. And we got to start somewhere. And most often people start with one area. It just depends upon, you know, where one's head is. But in the end, they evolve. We help them to transform their mind and evolve into doing both.
Mm.
And it really is a transformation. In fact, as we're talking about this, a woman's face comes to mind who has just lost about over 60 pounds. Mm. And I can see this image of her because we took a photograph of her with one of our counselors, Phyllis McFall, who runs that office. And the smile on her face was so joyous. And actually for the two of them, because we take pride in, you know, that person's success is our success.
How cool.
You know, it's personal and but just really beautiful. So it's a big deal.
Here we are in the middle of summer, and we have Dr. Mignon helping us think through these kinds of issues, the transformations that we can enjoy, the kind of health and lifestyles we can be living. And she's got all of these different ways of supporting us in that, right? As you look at medicine, right, for the Tallahassee area perhaps, and even beyond, what are some of your most frustrating, I guess, or most challenging parts of that when you look at medical practice? I mean, there have been some marvelous scientific advancements. Tell us about what you see on the current playing field.
Oh, gosh, that's a big question.
Yes.
That's a very big question.
I'm just giving you plenty of room to
hurt
yourself here.
Okay. Well, I can tell you what our focus has been. Now, well, the trend in medicine over the past, you know, the pendulum always swings over the past 5 years, I would say, is that many medical practices are being there's not many solo practitioners out there or doctor's offices that are just owned by the doctor and run for that kind of care. So,
that's been a rise in the way medicine is offered. Okay.
Yes. So many doctors have closed their practices and then they go and they work for a hospital or they work in a very large group. So doctors have had to come together. Many have had to come together.
They don't
together.
Do that well generally.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, you know,
they're all type A. They're all very aggressive and
It's not. I don't think it would be the kind of personal care that you would want.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that's in a very large facility. Mm. Of course, I only know what I know, which is the world that we create at the Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida, which is a patient-centered medical home. So that is a term. So that's actually a certification that we worked very hard to receive. Mm. But patient-centered, meaning our main focus is on that individual medical home. This is your medical home for everything that you need. So we're very comprehensive, taking care of the children, the parents, the grandparents, and focusing on many services like the skin care services. This time of year, everybody needs a skin check. performing echocardiograms in the office, and then of course the Impact Behavioral Health, our Transformations program, and the Weight Loss Center and the exercise. So it's a medical facility that focuses on all of those bits and pieces to address what people need.
Well, there you go, folks. We're making progress, and I'm certain that it's due to the contributions of people like Dr. Mignon and many of you who are taking initiative in your own lives. So I salute you for that. Our guest this morning, Dr. Mignon, who has always brought to us the best information and good news about how we can improve our health. Thank you, my friend, for sharing with us on this lovely Saturday morning.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. I'm so happy to be here.
Look forward to having you back again soon. Folks, stay with me. We've got ABC News coming up here at the top of the hour. We'll be back with the second hour of Tallahassee Talks, and we will have Miriam Dady with us and our good friend Mark Mustian.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Sue Semrau, head coach of Florida State women's basketball team.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back talking with Miriam Dady, her guests coming up here just shortly, and Mark Mustian, former city commissioner and author, purveyor of Word of South Festival, remarkable contributions from this attorney who's been in practice these many years in Tallahassee. We'll learn all about that. Miriam has this great little startup business that she's featuring in today's business spotlight. We're going to bring her in here just momentarily. In keeping with the spirit of startups around town and all that is happening with the kinds of things we see, innovation, actually. I mean, just novel ways of solving some customary problems or even providing solutions that have arisen, that is to say, new challenges that we face, like security, internet security. And that's what's going on here with this business spotlight feature. She's going to talk to these folks. So let's find out what's going on. So we have Miriam Dady here in the business spotlight, and all of that being brought to you by our good friends at Send Out Cards. Miriam?
Hello there, Tallahassee. It's another Saturday in beautiful Tallahassee, Florida. It's also another opportunity for me to shine the spotlight on a local business here. It's Miriam Dady with Tallahassee Business Spotlight. With all the news about, Wall Street Journal and United Airlines and, good grief, the New York Stock Exchange having problems with the internet. Now, whether that's their servers, whether it's hacking, who knows? The big brains will figure it out. But I think it's a pretty important topic. And this morning, I've invited both Karen Ellis and Ricky Harper to come and talk to all of us about business identity protection and about Business Shield. I love the name, Business Shield. I welcome both of you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
What does that mean? I know what a shield is, and I know what a business is. What is a business shield?
Well, our company is set up to protect other businesses from business identity theft, which is the hijacking of a business's identity through Department of State records at the Division of Corporations, SunBiz. Most business people know what that is. Thieves will change those records to commit crimes against that business. And that is business identity theft, the hijacking of that business through those records. Our company is set up to protect people by monitoring their records every day, letting them know if something has been changed. And if it has, we alert them, obviously. And then if we need to, whatever needs to happen in the back end to help them get themselves recovered and protected.
So a criminal, just like you see on any of the identity theft, individual identity theft commercials. A criminal could steal the identity of your business.
That's correct. And they do it through numerous ways. One very simple example would be they change, they remove an officer from some corporation or LLC. They insert a different name into that position on those records. The Department of State doesn't, you don't need any authentication. They practice what's called good faith filing. All 50 states do. They change that record. Then they simply go down to the bank and say, I'm the new VP of sales at XYZ Corporation. I need a corporate credit card. The bank will look at SunBiz and they'll say, yes, I see you are the new VP there. Congratulations. Here's your corporate line of credit that all other officers have. So that is one very simple way of doing business identity theft. There are actually, when we investigated this, when we were at the Department of State, we investigated at least, I think, 40 distinct ways, I believe it was, of committing this crime. So, but it's all tied around the alteration of those records.
Boy, just watching the news this week, and I know you saw it on the news too, when a crime happens or even the suspicion of a crime happens to a business, nobody wants to talk about it because it makes their clients uneasy.
Absolutely.
So mm-hmm. How do you, as a business and a business shield, how do you approach your client base to even admit there's a problem? Is that an obstacle for you?
It's definitely an obstacle. And as we did research and talk to business owners and see what was happening out there, we saw a lot of small business owners that didn't want people to know that they had been a victim.
Exactly.
Because they didn't want their reputation mm-hmm. to be ruined. They want people to continue to do business with them. Education is the key. And us educating them on exactly what it is, how it's perpetrated, and how they can protect themselves and how we can help protect them is the key to our success. Mm-hmm. And we actually have over 200 documented cases that when we were at the Department of State that I actually investigated and talked to business owners. I talked to law enforcement agencies, and there was over $8 million of actual losses due to these over 200 cases. And there were so many different ways that they were perpetrated.
Okay. So let's pretend that the criminal is a squirrel and the business is a bird feeder. That squirrel has nothing better to do than to think of ways to get that bird seed. Your business just spends time. Do you evolve in the way you protect the businesses? What is it that you do that's going to protect my business compared to if I just wing it on my own?
Sure. The bottom line is you could protect yourself if you monitored your filing at the Department of State every day. Well, the fact is, few people are going to do that. They might start doing it, and after a couple of weeks, they're going to stop. So what we do is electronically, we monitor those records every day.
And if a breach occurred?
Right, then you would immediately be alerted and told that this change has occurred, or someone has cloned your business, which is another way they do this, and we'll let you know what's happened. And then we'll put all of that investigative background we have while we were blessed to be at the Department of State and learning about this crime. All of the relationships we created with FDLE and Secret Service and other organizations, we take that and we'll leverage all of that experience and knowledge to work with you on your behalf, even up to the point of filing paperwork for you. You know, we can get a limited power of attorney and actually file cease and desist orders and that kind of thing to you know, stop the nefarious activities that are occurring.
I know that the listeners have probably a lot more questions for you, and I want to give them a way to get those questions answered. How can they find you?
They can go to our website, which has a massive amount of information, and they can actually enroll on our website for the actual service, and it's
www.businessshield.org.
Right.
Businessshield.org.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And is there a phone number that people can call?
It's 850-728-7581.
Thank you. Thanks so much. And I know you're going to be answering a lot more questions than I can pitch at you.
We look forward to it.
That's great. And Tallahassee and all you guys with a truck that has a couple of hammers in the back, I know you're going to want to investigate this a little bit more thoroughly, too. This is Miriam Dady with another episode of Tallahassee Business Spotlight. Thanks for listening.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. You know, I mean, but I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Mary Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
So we're here, we're talking with Mark Mustian. He is an amazing individual, if you'll allow me to say so, as if he's not sitting here next to me, at the risk of embarrassing him in that comment. But I do think a remarkable person who served the city of Tallahassee for 9 years as a city commissioner. He has gone on to contribute in so many other ways as an author. He is an attorney here in Tallahassee practicing law. We'll talk with him about his law practice as well at some point. And then of late, I guess because he just got bored, you know, he has nothing to do with himself. And so he came up with this idea of Word of South. And we're going to get into talking about Word of South and what it did for us in this year and what it may be doing for several years. There's lots of that up ahead as well. And so we're going to find out all that we can from this interesting man. Mark Mustian is our guest. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks.
So have I thoroughly embarrassed you now in front of everybody?
I'm all right.
You're used to being praised for your greatness.
Well, you know, it's happy for anybody to say anything nice about me. So
you'll take it.
That's right.
Because you don't know when you might get a neck.
Exactly.
It helps to balance the scale.
Exactly.
Then again, thinking of scales and balances, like balance sheets and balanced budgets, we're faced now with this proposed, which looks like an inevitable tax increase, a property tax hike coming through the city of Tallahassee. What's your take on all that?
Well, I have kind of mixed feelings about it. I mean, I've thought for a long time, since the very first days of being a city commissioner, that the city really can't run and provide the services it provides at the prior millage level of 3.7 mils. And if you look around the state of cities of any size, we're about at the bottom. You know, most cities are, you know, 5.5 and a lot higher in terms of millage. Mm. And so so I always thought that we either need to scale way back on what we do or raise taxes or do some of both. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not surprised that this got to this point, not discouraged, although I would have favored maybe cutting some stuff and maybe doing not doing some things that we do now. It's a very hard thing to do.
Mm. In fact, some of those cuts have only been announced in the last few days here where I think there was $600,000 allocated for the police force. They have cameras, you know, vest cameras, and they've decided to take that off the list. So now It seems as though they're trying to scramble in getting some of those cuts that you're talking about. It's for those of us who are less informed, and that probably represents a good number of folks, in terms of how the city pays for itself and pays for its employees and services, utilities represents a significant contribution to that.
Right.
What would be a good estimate there as to the degree to which our utility fees are making up that revenue? Is it like half or two-thirds?
I just remember the dollar amount that flows over from the utilities as a whole, and it's in the $30 million range a year that is kind of taken off the top and used to fund general city services. Yeah. So it's very important to the city. I mean, but for that, the millage would be a lot higher. Yeah. And there, you know, this, for cities that don't have their own utility system, there's usually a franchise fee or a public service tax or both that, you know, where they try and do some of the same thing.
I gotcha. So in fact, the property tax, as it's proposed, would come with the idea that if we don't do that, where else are we going to go? You logically you'd think, okay, well then we got to raise our utility rates in order to stay at this level of performance. I mean, what are the other options?
Well, there aren't very many good ones, and unfortunately, the other option is to cut things, and it's always been hard in this community to do that. I remember particularly, a few years ago we were trying to make cuts, and one of the proposed cuts was to the Lafayette Park Arts and Crafts Center. And people came out of the woodwork. They didn't want to, do that. Their daughter had done it, their mother had done it, and so ended up we didn't cut it much at all. And so that's the sort of thing that you face as a commissioner, and it's not a very easy task. Mm.
Had Brian DeLoge here a couple of weeks back, and he's talked with us about the county's efforts to, straighten up and fly right. And he was rather, I thought, gleeful about saying that the county had been able to bring a budget that was balanced, and they've actually been able to maintain their good fiscal management of things. You have that perspective, or are you that tuned into what's going on with the county? And is there a disparity there, I guess?
Well, I think the county's done a good job. I mean, I think the county leadership, the staff is excellent. The commissioners are some of the best commissioners we've had in a long time as county commissioners. My frustration with the county sometime, and this comes as a former city commissioner, so you can take it as you will, is that they tend to, even though they represent everyone in the county, they tend to cater to the people in the unincorporated area. Mm-hmm. And so, in my view, again, I may be biased, the people in the unincorporated area have a very good deal. Mm. And, they don't pay city taxes. They may have a slight surcharge on utilities, but they enjoy most of the benefits that people in the city do that pay a lot more. Mm. So if you live on Lakeshore Drive, for example, you're in the county, well, you pay a lot less in taxes than the guy who lives half mile away does.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. In our neck of the woods, I live out on the east side of town, and you've got portions of, we'll call it the Buck Lake area, that are city, and then the rest are not. Mm-hmm. And there is a huge difference in terms of what it costs you to live even a block away from.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so in terms of managing municipalities, where do you think Tallahassee ranks, let's say, among other cities in Florida?
I think Tallahassee is very well managed. My law practice, I represent cities and counties all over the state, and so I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly in terms of, other local governments. Mm-hmm. And so we're very fortunate in Tallahassee. We've had a stable government. We've had the same city manager for, 15 plus years, which is absolutely a rarity. And we've done a pretty good job. I mean, people around the state look to what Tallahassee's doing in terms of being sort of a gold standard, which is where we want to be.
Mm. Talking with Mark Mustian, former city commissioner from 03 to 2012. We're going to get into talking about some of his work lately with Word of South and his authorship of two novels, and so you need to stay right where you are. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Kathy Griffin, president of Widden Glass.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're talking with Mark Mustian. He has graciously agreed to submit himself to this conversation in which we get to kind of pick at him, because now that he's completed his sentence... He served his time over a period of 9 years as a city commissioner. It seems to me, Mark, you have that rather, for us, a rather fortunate or a fortuitous position in that you really do have a one step away perspective. You can help us better appreciate where we are as a community and what it's like inside of those city chambers when you're trying to wrestle through something like, oh, do we cut funding for the Lafayette Arts and Crafts Center? I mean, and yet trying to tie two strings together, and you don't have enough string, right?
Right.
So here we are looking at what will be most likely approved upon, if it hasn't been already, 27% increase in property tax. Gerald Inslee has made his point that, come on, guys, it's 2015, and then you got guys like Ed Moore and some of these, Hugh Tomlinson, and they're blowing up Facebook with all of their criticism of it. And you sound like you're kind of in a more middle position. Would that be fair? I mean, in terms of justification?
I mean, nobody likes to pay taxes, including me, and nobody likes to see waste in government, including me. And you know, of course, there is some at every level of government. And so it's a but, you know, to you know, some people's waste is another person's important program. And, and I will say, at least for the city, I'm familiar with, I mean, although there's some fat, there's not near as much as people would have you believe. I mean, the overall number of city employees and the city employee ratio per population isn't much higher than it was 10 years ago. So what you have are people being asked to do more, employees. And I think we're about at the max level we can really do that.
And people, too, have pointed out with me over the years that a bunch of that property is occupied by our lovely tenants, the state of Florida. They don't pay property taxes.
No, and they pay, you know, they are on the city utility system, and so that funds some of the, you know, the carryover that's there. But, I mean, you know, not to be, you know, way too philosophical with you, but you see it at the local level of government, just like you do at the state and the national level. Sort of we've borrowed ourselves into a certain prosperity, and it's you can't sustain it. I mean, we can't provide the same services that you get today out into perpetuity without raising taxes. Yeah. And so people either have to accept a lower level of service, or we got to raise taxes, or some of both. Mm. And, you know, I remember when I was on the commission, we moved the garbage service from 2 days a week to one. Mm. Oh, you would have thought that the sky had fallen. I remember just blistering emails about somebody, the diapers are stinking in my garbage can because it's not being picked up, except, you know, once a week. Mm. Well, you know, people have kind of gotten used to it, all right? Yeah. Once a week, I got to roll it to the curb. Yeah. Not that big a deal.
Yeah.
And so it's that sort of thing that, you know, that we, you know, I think we have to, you know, probably come to grips
with. So you fired back with, look, lady. And this was your wife, right?
Well, no, I got a lot of, you know, flaming emails. I don't remember who that was, but
make nice, or we'll make it once a month.
Yeah, well, we try and treat people fairly. But, I mean, the other part, and this is, you know, again, the thing that people have a hard time grasping, you know, consolidation. You know, should we consolidate city and county? We're one of the few counties, if maybe not the only one in Florida that has one city in it.
Why have we not done that?
You know, a combination of reasons, I think. The first two rules of government are, number one is CYA, and number two is protect the turf. So a lot of turf on all sides of that. And the fact that, you know, and the reality is, you know, we'll save all this money if we consolidate. Well, we will if we're willing to let people go and look at law enforcement. You know, I mean, we have, I think we're the only county in the state where the sheriff patrols inside the city limits as well as outside. And so clearly there's some duplication there. If you combine the forces, would we save money? If we're willing to let some officers go, yeah, we would. It's a lot. If you start to dig down into it, a lot more difficult than it would seem. Having said that, I mean, I think it probably makes sense. I mean, it doesn't, you know, I don't know that we're tremendously well served with the structure we have right now.
For you as a citizen living in Tallahassee, and you said earlier in comparison with other places around Florida, you like this town. You like the way we do things. So much so that you decided to invest further in our cultural experience, right, with Word of South. Tell us how that all got started.
Oh, it's something I wanted to do for a long time. I was, I was invited to speak at a number of literary festivals after my last novel was published, and I'd never been to one before. And so, you know, I thought it was really neat, and there were a lot of people there, and everybody's reading books, and it was, you know, so I'm thinking, why couldn't we do something like this in Tallahassee? And so really, you know, it probably wouldn't have worked too well if we tried to do it while I was on the commission. But after I got off, you know, I still had the idea. And so we got a group of folks together and kind of decided, well, you know, we could have just a literary festival, but then we'd sort of be the Tallahassee version of the South Carolina Literary Festival. And so we embarked on, you know, really trying to do something different. And so out of that came Word of South, which was a festival of literature and music. And we tried to combine musicians and authors in a bunch of different and innovative ways. And so I think it was extremely successful. The inaugural festival was this past April. And despite some weather issues, I think we had very wonderful programming. We did a lot of experimental stuff that worked almost without exception.
And that was at Cascades Park,
the
amphitheater.
It was.
Yeah.
And so we had authors and musicians appearing together. We had authors who were musicians. We had musicians who had written books. And so so it was really pretty neat. So we're going to do it again April 9th and 10th of 2016.
Very cool. Where do you go for the folks that participate in that as authors and or as musicians? I mean, some of them were both, and you had this inaugural event. You had J.K. Simmons, right? Note because of his work as an actor, and he's got the hip film now, Whiplash, right?
Right.
And he's been around. So how did you land him, or I guess how did you have connection with him?
Well, He in particular, a lot of it was sort of just connections with local people. He is friends with Darko Budorak, who is the Tallahassee Symphony director. And so when we hatched this idea to do this and have the symphony perform as part of it, Darko suggested, well, why don't I ask J.K. if he'd like to read the Lincoln parts of this? And he did. We had the actor Tony Hale, who's from Tallahassee, come down, and he's written a children's book, and he signed and talked. That was great. So we did a lot of that type of stuff. We tried to do some local artists also. We'd like this to be a blend of local and out-of-state folks, but really focused on it has to be at kind of a world-class level. And if it's not, then I really don't want to do it.
Yeah, and I think that speaks to your vision for this town. I mean, that's the part that I find curious. What do you hope Tallahassee will gain out of all of this?
Well, I've always thought that Tallahassee, we should do a better job of positioning ourselves as sort of the arts and culture capital of the Southeast. Huh. I mean, and playing off the strengths of Florida State. I mean, they've got a wonderful film school. They got one of the best creative writing departments in the country. They have one of the top-rated music schools in the country. And yeah. So historically, I don't think we've done a great job of kind of capitalizing on that. Huh. And when you think of Tallahassee, you sort of think of the legislature. You don't think of yeah. arts and culture.
Or
and
a football
so,
team.
Yeah. And so yeah. and so that's sort of, I think, our challenge to if we, you know, to maybe try and pull that off.
Hmm. Somebody said recently, in fact, I want to say, I think it was Michelle Ray Winkle, Vasselinda and I were talking, and we agreed that the Tallahassee's natural resource is its people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that bears evidence here in the work you're talking about. Word of South, a marvelous contribution to the landscape of the arts and cultural celebrations that we have seen, not the least of which, too, should be the Tallahassee Music Festival that I know sort of dovetailed right into Word of
right.
South. We'll talk more about that. Stay with us. We've got Mark Mustian with us on this lovely Saturday, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week, because though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, folks. I'm Jerry Thigpen, blues guitar player here in Tallahassee, coming at you for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on 93.
So we're back and talking with Mark Mustian, city commissioner for many years, a contributor at many levels, and author of two novels, The Return, published by Pineapple Press, and his most recent novel, The Gendarme, which is an intriguing thing there, right? And that's Putnam Press. So you, again, you just seem to have so much time on your hands. You get bored easily, don't you? You just cannot sit still.
I don't, you know, the writing is all kind of came
therapeutic.
Came about. Well, it may have been the result of an early midlife crisis, because I had been a lawyer for about 10 years, and so my wife was doing an internship down at Shands, and so I'm back and forth on I-10 a lot by myself. And so I'm thinking, all right, I've been a lawyer for 10 years. Got to be more than this. So I decided I would try and maybe run for office and maybe try and teach and write a book. And eventually I did all of those, and I taught for a couple of years, a course out at Tallahassee Community College, and that was enough to cure me of wanting to do that.
And I crossed that one off your bucket list,
and,
did you?
And I ran for office, and
that done.
Was, yeah,
okay,
that was I enjoyed it, but I'm glad it's over. And so I started on this book then that ended up being The Return. I had no idea what I was doing, and it was sort of, I had this naive assumption that I could just write this novel and somebody would want to buy it.
See, that's how I got this gig.
Yeah. So, well, you know, you just have to go do it.
Who decided to put this guy in front of a microphone?
Well, and my advice to people who want to write is, well, you need to sit down and do
just
it.
Do it.
And then you can get better, and you can, you know, hone your ability. And so I discovered I liked doing it. And to this day, I try and write a little bit every day. Mm. And it sort of keeps my head in it, and it's fun, and it's time to myself.
And in doing that writing, you're writing within this stream of producing your next novel, or do you do a lot of blogging and
most
other
part,
kinds of things?
I don't do blogging, and I'm not very, the times I have tried to do it, I'm not very good at it. I, you have to be, I think, kind of quicker and wittier than I am to do that well.
I identify with that.
But I just kind of like playing with the words and trying to come up with the concepts and that sort of thing. And
so you're a storyteller.
Yeah. I mean, it's been, you know, I mean, there's a lot of freedom and creativity in doing that. You can make it go any way you want to make
it
go.
Indeed. Well, intriguing. How are book sales going?
Well, good. I mean, the gendarme is sort of at the end of its life. I was invited to speak. The book is about, it's a novel that it takes place in the Armenian genocide, and my heritage is Armenian way back. And so it wasn't a topic I knew very much about. I did a ton of research. And so this year, 2015, is the 100th anniversary of those events from 1915. And so I was invited to speak at a festival in Armenia and another one in Venice in Italy. So it's been nice to, you know, kind of have one last round of, discussion, talking, reading about the book. Yeah. But I'm working on another novel now that I've almost completed. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see if maybe that gets published in the next year or two.
Yeah, hoping for that. When you think about those of our listeners particularly who hear you talk about this and you say, well, you know, maybe it was that midlife crisis sort of trigger. How do you go about making those discoveries for yourself, do you think? How do we find the hidden stuff that we didn't really even know we were capable of doing?
I went to a this friend of mine is a girl I went to high school with, and her father, it was his retirement party. So I went to this few years ago, and I've always remembered this. When he got up to give his little retirement speech, he says, "You have no idea how fast 70 years goes by." Ah. He said, "If you want to do something, do it." Yeah. And so I've tried to take that to heart.
That was your mantra, right?
Yeah,
there.
I mean, that's, you know, if you want to do something, you can't, don't sit around, go out and try it. And then you may not like it. You may find it leads to something else, but that was great advice and I've tried to take
it. So you're saying, come on, man, just go for it. Whatever it is you want to run that marathon, get started today. Go
right.
Do it. Yeah. When you fail, and I mean, all of us have failures in life, right? What do you do next?
Well, to some extent, you pick yourself up and keep going. I mean, writing, and for those people who want to write and be published, I mean, it's an enormously frustrating operation. Yeah. And, there's so much rejection involved in it. I mean, the first novel, The Return, that I wrote, I tried to get an agent for, years. And, and you get this, even though I prepared myself mentally for, the rejection slips, when they start to get, inches high, you start thinking, well, maybe I'm just not that good.
The pages in the book.
Well, yeah. But fortunately, I just kind of kept going. And I have writer friends. I have this one lady in particular who I think wrote 6 failed novels before she ever got one published.
Wow.
And so that's a lot of perseverance
there.
And a lot of overcoming rejection. And so, but if you love it, if it's what you want to do, then you do it.
Just go for it. So part of our secret to success here is to be among those who are like-minded, perhaps, or to be a part of a kind of supportive group or network of folks.
That's certainly been helpful to me. I mean, we had a little writers group that we get together occasionally here in Tallahassee and, tell stories and lies and have a few beers. And it's helpful just to hear other people's perspectives because you think you're the only one that can't get an agent or can't do this. And they're like, I've been years trying to. So it's a very, helpful thing.
We're talking with Mark Mustian, who... If there are those in our community who have a perspective that we ought to hear, it seems to me Mark is one of those, primarily because of the breadth and the depth of his involvement, having served as a city commissioner for 9 years, an able published author, someone who has been practicing law here in the community. It was 10 years when you decided to do something more. How long have you been in law then?
30 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So here you go. And then, mm-hmm. like you needed a hobby, you decided to put Word of South on the map and express then what has been in your head. Were you pleased then with the outcome? You think Word of South was worth all the blood, sweat, and tears?
Well, I do. I mean, it was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. The two biggest challenges for us were, you know, how do we keep it going, and what do we do if it rains? Well, we've been through number two because it rained all weekend. And if you had told me, well, yeah, there's going to be three lightning episodes where people have to leave the park and it would still be a success, I'm not sure I would have believed you. But I think it was great. The product was good. People that saw it loved it. The artists loved it. I think we want to do it again and make it better and keep it going.
Looking forward to it. Our good friend Mark Mustian, thank you, sir, for sharing with us. We hope to have you back not too far out. We want to keep in touch with you, make sure that you're doing your daily contribution to that next novel. Keep tabs on you that way, and invite you to be a part of this show anytime you have something you'd like to share with us.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Look forward to it. Folks, that's what we have for you. Talking about Tallahassee in all of its various ways of being Tallahassee and discovering that more and more so. That's what we do right here. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is the production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you next Saturday morning. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Hey, we're checking in with Joe over at Truck and Car Concepts. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, man, how you guys doing today? It's an awesome setup here at Truck and Car Concepts. You come in here, it's your one-stop shop. You can get it all taken care of. Window tinting, pinstriping, graphics, you name it, Truck and Car Concepts does it. And we've also got those bolt-on accessories that make the truck look nice. We've got grill guards, we've got brush guards, stainless steel Nerf bars, lifetime warranty on those. And again, the spray-in bed liner is going to make it worth your while.
You talking about putting a few of these things on there, and you're going to increase the value of that vehicle.
Well, you will, and not only are you going to do that, but you're going to make it look nice. It's going to customize it for your own personality and your own wants and needs. Some guys like it jacked up. We also do lowering kits.
There's only one place in town's going to be able to truck it up then.
That's right. That's Truck and Car Concepts.
Truck and Car Concepts. One block east of Weems Road on Mahan Drive, across from Kraft Nissan. Call 656-8800. Come on, say it with me. 656-8800. 8800.